kick off our driver media availabilities for the Sunday's Ford EcoBoost 400 here at Homestead Miami Speedway. We're joined now by the driver, the number 88 Exalta Chevrolet, Darrell Earnhardt Jr. Dale, heading into the finale weekend, how are you feeling?
Feel pretty good. Just had a pretty decent run last week, and went over to the property and went home for a day, but then went to the property in Key West to work on that renovation project and had some fun sorting things out over there, and drove up here last night and had a good night's sleep. So looking forward to trying to get on the track and get our car handling and see if we can make the thing get around there pretty good so we can have some fun Sunday. This track is really one of the more enjoyable tracks for me. I like running the high side everywhere but we can, and this place begs for it. So it's so much fun trying to put the car on the fence and making speed up there, and seems like guys are getting better and better at it, so it's a lot more busier and crowded up on the high line. But still, it's a fun thing to try to accomplish and try to do well, and I feel like that I've always had a knack for that all throughout my career, is finding that groove at a lot of different tracks. So this is where's Bob? So Bob, I got a question, man, and because I don't even know the rules anymore. But so if I retire, and then I want to run the Homestead Xfinity race next year, is that against that's legal for me to do, right? Right. So, yeah. But my Cup experience, no matter whether I'm retired or not, doesn't keep me out of being able to run that event, because I got two right now, maybe three, and I haven't decided where I'm going to run them, but I think Homestead would definitely be on the list if it's a race I can run, because I just like the track so much. Obviously, we enjoy the Keys, and, you know, the Keys had a difficult past several months with Irma, and we've got a lot of friends down there that were affected by that, and on the drive from Key West all the way up here, man, it's they're still really, really struggling. A lot of people still displaced. A lot of people lost their homes. And so it's still a very difficult and challenging situation for a lot of people in the Middle Keys. But one of the things that I saw that was really, really neat and kind of uplifting was not only Key West Old Town, the town itself, they're ready for people to come. They're ready for it's as if they didn't miss a beat. So if everybody's wondering whether the Keys are open for business, they are, and those people are ready to serve you. But also on the drive up here, I mean, every mile there's like a makeshift sign of plywood with whatever business spray painted on it with a big open on the spray painted on there. So those people are resilient, and they're you know, they need people to go down there and vacation and help the economy in that particular area. And so it looks like that they're working hard to get back on their feet, and so that's really fun to see, because I'd never owned a vacation home before until we went to Key West in 08, and we just love it down there. And it was really really good to spend a couple of days there and see how everybody's doing.
We're going to open it up to questions now. We're going to start right up front here with Jim Utter, and then we'll go to Ryan, then Jenna. Get a mic to you right here to Jim.
Jim Utter, motorsport.com. I also noticed driving up Wednesday all the signs that say the Keys will come back.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. This might be kind of a weird question, but I just wondered, coming into this weekend, what are you most looking forward to, or are you kind of dreading it?
No, I'm not dreading any of it. And I don't know what to look forward to. whatever's next. You know, I got an opportunity to do an interview here in a minute with Michael Strahan. I'm really looking forward to the chance to chat with him a little bit, considering his transition from athlete to behind the microphone in front of the camera. I think that he could give me quite a bit of advice on my next chapter in life. But I'm looking forward to taking pictures with Matt later today with our cars. Something that me and him have talked about trying to organize to be able to do for some time. I've known about his paint scheme since Dover, and he's like, man, we should get a picture together. So we're going to try to do that tonight at 7:30, and then we're going to have a picture. Matt is going to have a picture, and I'm going to have a picture with all the people that have worked with us in the sport. And I don't know how they organize that. So that's going to be – I'm just interested to see how many people show up and who shows up. So that'll be fun. I'm really looking forward to those things. And can't wait to get into the holler to see Greg, you know, and my get to the car and see T-Mac and Adam and T-Stock and all my guys. And I can't wait to go practice with them, you know, and work and do what we've been doing for all these years. I mean, this is a, you know, look, I like the track, and I'm glad we're ending on one that I like. And so that enjoyment for racing here will, you know, keep me engaged, because, you know, I want to enjoy this weekend, but also, you know, we want to end well. We want to be competitive. We want to work today. We want to work tomorrow. We want to put in a good effort this weekend. And so that'll be, you know, that'll be fun. That'll be fun to try to figure out. So hopefully we have a competitive car. So I'm looking forward to getting to work on it.
We're going to go to Ryan, then Jenna, then Bob.
Ryan McGee, ESPN. Dale, you mentioned your guys. I talked to some of them last week. A lot of those guys played college football and had to move on to something else.
Yeah.
You know, have you leaned on those guys a little bit with that transition, or you think you will this weekend?
You know, it's relationships that last for a long time. And so, you know, anytime I need to get their ear, I can just – they're just – we're all in a group chat, so I can just reach out, and we all communicate quite often. The road team, we've had the same guys for a while, and you see some turnover in other teams, but I really can't speak on that because I don't know. But with our guys, we've had the same group for quite a while. Covey's been with me for I don't know how many years as a jackman and so forth. So I've liked the fact that I've had the same guys, because we build these friendships, you know, that are more important than pit stops. And they've been great, you know, as far as how they performed. And we've had some really good days. Everybody has their bad days. I do too. But, you know, they've been reliable, fun, good guys, good attitude, good personalities. So those friendships will last a long time, and we'll lean on each other for everything, you know, like we have.
We'll go to Jenna.
Jennifer, AB. Not really so sentimental, but Martin's got a really big opportunity. You go a long ways back with Martin. He won championships with you. What would it mean for you to see Martin finally take this next step?
I'm Team Martin for this weekend for sure. Me and Brad are great friends, and I love to see Brad do well. But with what Martin, you know, just as a driver, with what he's been through, it'd just be awesome to see him put his name on that trophy. And we all know about what Sherry's dealt with, and how difficult that's been on her and Martin. And how dedicated he's been to her. And Martin's, you know, Martin's just a great guy. Don't have zero ego. Love spending time with him. We go hunt together. Well, you haven't had a chance to do much of that this year because he's been so busy winning races and being a championship contender. But, you know, we just have a lot of great memories together. He slept on the couch when he first come down here. And then I let him stay in one of the bedrooms in the house for a couple, several months. And then he moved into a house about 100 yards away on the inside the gate and lived with a buddy of mine. And then him and Sherry got close and they moved in together. And, but he, you know, we just always been friends, and I've always, I think that it's really, you know, drivers, we all have, I said this like, for, seems like I've said it every week. Drivers have such big egos, all of us do, but Martin's not on that list. I mean, he just doesn't. He doesn't, you know, abuse the opportunity and the, and what the sports provided him. And I just think that it says so much about his character as a person and a man. I mean, just it's really cool to know people like that and have people like that in your life. And he's a great example to follow. He's impacted my life and in a positive way with his character. And but I just, I don't know how you put into words what it would mean for him to win. I don't know how you describe what that means. It's bigger than words, I guess. It'd be very popular amongst his peers and amongst the garage and the industry for sure. Because everybody knows how the kind of person he is. And I think, you know, that whole team sort of has that reputation. Cole and Martin sort of go hand in hand, you know, with their attitudes and personalities, and they just blue collar to get to work, and they're no BS, and they don't talk loud, and they just win races. So very easy to pull for them.
We're going to go to Bob, and then we're going to come over to this side of the room to George.
Bob Hockers, ESPN. Beyond wanting to win, what is the one thing you want to do either when you're in the car or outside of the car on Sunday?
Well, in the car, I just want to run all the laps. I want to finish the race in one piece. And I don't have anything outside the car that, you know, that's on a to-do list. You know, it just, you know, far as my, you know, far as I'm concerned, I'm good with coming in here and doing the things we always do every race weekend. I want to get it documented, I guess. That would be good to have. So we have someone here taking pictures, and I've been gathering a lot of footage over the last several months for a possible documentary. Depends on how good all that is. So we're gathering, you know, we're sort of documenting it, which is going to be fun. I might run that visor cam again. I just have to see how my field of vision is when I'm out there practicing with it. So I'll have that footage and to put, you know, to pocket and have forever. But as far as I'd like to finish the race and finish it in one piece. Just be able to, you know, wherever that is. Obviously, you want to do as well as you can, but no matter where we finish, just be able to pull down pit road, stop the car, and get out. And then, you know, see my guys and do all that. Hopefully, it does. You know, it'd be a bit of a heartbreaker if we were have to have any kind of issue that would take us out of the event, not be able to finish.
We're going to go over here to the left to George, and then we'll go to Claire.
Yeah, Dale. George Diaz, Orlando Sentinel. Since you made the decision to walk away, has it been no regrets, or has there been a touch of, oops, you know, maybe maybe I need to reconsider.
Oh, no, I don't need to reconsider. This is great timing for me. It's time for somebody else to get in that car and get out of it what they can. And, you know, with Alex coming in behind, it's just a great opportunity for him. It's now, it's his time. It's now, you know, his moment going into next season to take his career wherever he can go. And mine, in my heart, has ran its course, you know. And I've felt very good about that decision before the race at Daytona started in February, you know, that this was it. And I was happy. I was more thankful to be able to compete this year than I was to ever question whether I should go farther. You know, with everything we've been through with the concussion and trying to come back, the emotion was, man, I'm so glad I get to run this last year. It was never, and it was always, this is the last year, and I'm glad I get to run it. And when I started in Daytona, I didn't know whether I would finish it, you know, feeling delicate, feeling compromised, knowing how easily that could happen again. I confided in my friends and family and my wife that I was, you know, worried that I might, you know, that I could get another concussion and how disappointing that would be. So I'm sitting here healthy, and I'm going to run this last race, and I got all the way through the year. So I feel blessed. I feel really good with it.
We're going to go to Claire, and then we'll come up here to Kenny.
Claire Belang, Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Where's she at?
You know, all of the attention that you've been getting over here, all the attention you've been getting from your sponsors, celebrities, videos, that sort of thing. I mean, when the Budweiser video hit, it was like tears. I mean,
yeah,
even if you try not to be emotional. Did any of that really touch you, and how did you watch some of that? Did the Budweiser one get you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, all of them do. I mean, you just don't expect stuff like that, and you don't. You know, you're not used to, you know, you just don't expect, you don't ever assume or, but yeah, they were all very emotional. Amy, you know, Amy has to, Amy's the one that's, you know, obviously the most emotional with being pregnant and everything. So they've really been hitting her, but the Budweiser one was great. I mean, there's so many fond memories of those years, and they did such a great job of shaping that. And so, but it's been really neat to see I know that a lot of people went to great efforts to capture those videos and to make those videos, and that is probably what I appreciate the most, is that not only the people that are in front of the camera, but the effort that it takes to go capture that content probably means the most, because that, you know, that there's a lot of people who are doing a lot of things, and I've seen stuff day in and day out, and it's just crazy. That some, you know, that that there's, you know, that I don't know, it's just really overwhelming. So it makes your heart full, and it's really hard for me. I'm having a hard time, you know, really trying to put my emotions and thoughts into words. Usually I'm pretty decent at it, but it you know, that part of it you never forget. You'll never forget. When somebody tells you how much they appreciate you, just that's, you know, that means the world to you, you know, to hear that. So this is good.
We're going to come right up front here to Kenny, then we're going to go to Joseph.
Bruce with NASCAR.com. Dale, first couple of things. You mentioned the injury earlier. Was there a point this season that you weren't concerned about that it was like, okay, I'm good, I can race and not have to worry about it?
Yeah, I mean, there's days when you don't think about it, and there's days when it, you know, you just don't, you're not reminded of it. And so, yeah, there's big, you know, there's chunks of time when you go through race weekend and you don't even think about it. But there's tracks where you've had concussions before and you can't not think about it then. When you go, any kind of memory you have at a racetrack comes up at some point in the weekend, whether it's a win that you had or a crash or a near miss or so you think about every memory when you go to all these places. Like here this weekend, I've already thought about everything that I've ever done at this racetrack by the time I've been here in just 24 hours. So that's going to be there at every race weekend. So so sometimes it was in the way, sometimes it wasn't, you know.
And one other thing, with everything that you've had to do additionally this year with the appreciation tour and all that, has that been a drain on you, and do you think that's affected you competitively any at all?
No, nothing's affected me competitively from the appreciation tour, and you know, it hasn't taken time away or focus away from what we do and how we've just you know, I've you know, with Tyler and Tiff and our team, I mean, I've got the best, you know, people to navigate all this, and it's been seamless. You know, it's been real simple, real easy, and I'm also going into a lot of these things knowing about the you know, just knowing the conversation you're going to have with the media every week. It's been great. You know, this has been a good experience, and I don't think that it, you know, the performance for me has been, we just had a down year as a group, and we've struggled as a manufacturer. You know, there's a light at the end of the tunnel next year with that Camaro. I wish I could have got the Camaro a couple years ago, but I think that you know, there's better days ahead for Chevrolet and HMS for sure. It's just been a difficult year, I think, across the board for all of us. In the last several weeks, we've improved, but still, those aren't the standards that we hold ourselves to. You know, those sevenths and tenths and stuff like that, that's just, you know, that's just enough to get you by, and we expected more out of ourselves this year. And we started the year pretty good, but definitely had some odd things happening with our cars and myself. But, yeah, I think that the tour has been very positive.
We're going to go to the far right to Joseph, then to this young lady here, and then to Reed.
Joseph Walken, frontstretch.com. What's your message for future drivers and owners about concussion prevention and awareness?
You know, I don't know that prevention's difficult. Just awareness is something that I can speak on. If you're going to drive race cars for a living, it's a dangerous sport, and injury and all that's always a possibility. The only thing that I can say is that if you feel, I mean, it's not really cut and dried. Let me try to explain this. So when I was in my 20s and I'd, you know, get a concussion, I didn't know I had one. But as you get older, for whatever reason, your body's easier for you to understand. And when you have injury in your 30s or 40s, it's just, you know your body so well at that point that it's obvious that there's an issue. When you're in your 20s, you don't know exactly the feeling that you have and how that works. It's not as obvious to you. But so the only thing that I can say is if you do have a sensation that something's not right, that you need to put yourself in front of somebody who can help you. And the biggest mistake you can make is to ignore it and push through. And, you know, because those things can add up and create serious issues for you down the road if you're not taking care of them individually. So, I mean, the attitude for a lot of years and even today with a lot of people, I think, is to try to push through it. And I think that's, you know, what's got to change is people need to start taking it a little more seriously and trying to, you know, take better care of themselves for the long term. So that's probably the things that the mistakes that I made, I think, are that I didn't flag, you know, those issues and say, you know, I need to get myself in front of a doctor, and it caught up with me. So, you know, I'd hate to, you know, I think that's something that I can share with other people and other drivers about not making those mistakes.
We'll stay over here to the right and then we'll go to Reed.
Julia PK from motorsport.com. Dale, as you look back on such a successful and accomplished career, is there anything that stands out to you in particular that maybe you would have done differently?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if you change something, it's like a domino effect. No one telling what else it might alter. But I've said this before. I think that I wish I'd have known when I was – I wish I'd have known from probably 2000 or maybe even 1998 all the way up until around the time that I went to Rick's to work. So I learned so much at Rick's about being an asset to your team, being accountable, being available for your crew chief, being a good, you know, being more than just holding the steering wheel and driving the car. When I was racing for my family, I took advantage and didn't take it seriously. And there were days when I would come into the garage to practice and everybody's in their cars pulling out of their stalls and I'm just walking in. And nothing was wrong with that, you know, in my mind. That's ridiculous. I mean, that's crazy. You'd be fired, you know, in this day and time if a driver was that carefree about it and didn't matter, you know, it didn't seem to matter. You know, as soon as practice was over, I'd go sit in a truck, and if, you know, if Tony Jr. and Tony Sr. hadn't asked me a question in 5 or 10 minutes, I was in the bus playing video games, you know, for as long as I could. I was up till 2 a.m. playing video games on Friday and Saturday nights, you know, just had no idea how to take advantage of the opportunity that I was given. And I'm sure I could have accomplished so much more if I had been plugged in, but I didn't learn how to do that until I came to work at Rick's. And Steve Letarte, he said, man, you're going to be in the hauler an hour 30 minutes before practice. I was like, whoa. And you know, there was a lot of these like rules, and I learned right then that that I needed to be held accountable, and that when I was, you know, I performed and things, there were better results, you know. And you know, I think that it was a different time back then when I was racing that Bud car, but if I had taken it as serious as I did these last several years of my career, I'm sure there would have been some better results. And I'm sure that, you know, we had a lot of fun and as far as I know, you know, really didn't drive under Tony Sr. or Tony Jr.'s skin too bad about the way I was, but it's really two completely different extremes from driving from the person I was then to the person I became racing at Rick's. Being around Jimmy and Jeff sort of emulating their work ethic and their focus. I mean, I had to work like Jimmy and Jeff. They would call you out, you know, if you weren't as focused. And that was how a driver at Hendrick was supposed to be. You was volunteering to go test. Now, I never volunteered to go test anywhere. but you wanted to be the company guy. You wanted to do whatever it was that would help the company. And man, that was a, I'm fortunate to have had the opportunity to go work there and learn that. But had I been able to apply that to the first half of my career, I would have liked to have seen what difference that might have made.
We're going to go to the left to Reed and finish up here with Holly.
Reed Spencer, NASCAR. With everything else you've got going on, you've got three drivers running for the Xfinity Championship tomorrow. And more than anything, that's emblematic of your legacy in the sport as well. Are you going to have time to enjoy that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. We have a debrief with the drivers and the crew chiefs after our final practice, and I want to be in there for that. Traditionally, that starts right around the same time the Xfinity race starts, so I missed the first several laps of the Xfinity race due to that debrief. But since it's my last race, I think I want to be in the debrief. And I'll get a headset and come out to pit road and sit on the pit wall and watch the Xfinity race unfold. But it's really a proud moment for all of us, my sister and everybody at Junior Motor Sports, to have the opportunity to be here at the final race, racing for a championship, whether it's one car or three or four. There's a lot of pride in that. We came close last year. And even when the checkered flag fell, the pride in my heart was the same as it was on the first lap. I just thought it was so special to be there. I remember when we came here and ran our first Xfinity race for Junior Motorsports with Mark McFarland, and we were kind of a patchwork of a ragtag crew, and we ran 20th all night, and we thought it was so awesome just to be there. We were so proud to be in the race and just be competing. There goes our car, you know. It was awesome. And I don't take that for granted, and I know how hard it is to be good and be competitive, and so there's a lot of pride that we're even in the position to win a championship. Hemric is a worthy opponent, you know, and I know RCR will pull out everything they have to give him the best opportunity, so looking forward to it.
I'm going to finish up right up front here with Holly.
Hi, Dale. NASCAR.com. I wonder if you had coming in for your final race. I know in past years we've seen Jeff and Tony have different people that came. Can you tell us a little bit about who's going to be here for you?
Yep, my sister and her husband, LW, my mom and her husband, Willie, Mike Davis, and my best friend and property manager, Sonny, and his wife, my cousin, Stacy. Am I forgetting anybody? Is that it, Tony? That's it. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I figured it was a very difficult decision. It was very difficult to know what was the right thing to do there. I've got 100 friends that I wish I would charter a giant plane to bring them all down here, but I assumed that if they wanted to be here, they'd get here. I'd be happy to help them get a ticket and get into the race, but once you kind of start that, you start that action of getting, you know, helping one person, it's, you feel like, God, I got to get this guy, you know, the list just goes and goes. And yeah, so if whoever wants to be here wants to come on down, but I just made sure that my family's here and my mom, I want my mom to be here. You know, my sister will be here because of the Xfinity opportunity we have tomorrow. And so we just had a few seats on our plane. See, my plane brought us to Key West and then went home. And we drove up here so the plane can fly down Sunday with a few people on it. And it's got 9 seats, and it'll bring a handful of people, and we'll go home.
Dale, thanks for joining us today, and good luck this weekend.
Enjoy your week.